It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Episode 3, Season 6. You hear that mostly on podcasts, but you know what? This show gets podcasted, so might as well say it live. Welcome to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Of course, the Bulldogs coming off a not-so-great loss in Raleigh, North Carolina, NC State, 40-14. We'll get into that. But first, some sponsors from my friend Jared, or I don't think he's got it pulled up. Or he's got it. He has got it.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Give us your call, 888-993-7762. Let's hear from you and your thoughts on that NC State game or even the Lamar game Saturday inside Joe IA Stadium, or send us an email to the radio at bleedtechblue.com. Inbox with those thoughts as well. Jared, 40-14. Two turnovers inside the red zone by Tech's running backs. Had a turnover that really was right at, I think it was about the 30-yard line by Tevin King for NC State going in. So they basically recovered almost inside their own red zone. And then IK Inampali had an interception that he fumbled, which was unfortunate because they were in the red zone. Would have been a little bit of payback, if you will. But when you turn the ball over four times to anybody, you're up. You got an uphill battle on your hands.
Yeah, no matter the opponent, when you're trailing in the turnover battle,
turnover margin,
whatever.
I got you.
By four, it's difficult. It's difficult to when you continue to shoot yourself in the foot. It's difficult to win that game. I think the fumble on the third possession when KD fumbled it going into the end zone was probably the biggest hurt, because right after that they punt, then they fumble again, and it was just hard to get back on. It was hard to get back going. It was a 16-play drive.
There wasn't a whole lot of wind in the sails, and you look at it, Tech had 321 yards of offense. That's a good bit of offense for a first outing of a new scheme or system. And then you look at 542 yards was given up by the defense.
But in Monday's presser, Skip Holtz, he made mention of an interesting statistic. He said that
you took my bait. Thank you.
Yeah, through 70, I'm getting better at that. through 70 plays, Tech's defense gave up 277 yards. So there are, of course, they ran a total of 87 offensive plays. So in 17 plays, 200 yards. Just shy of 200 yards.
The big plays are the killer in college football.
Absolutely.
And if you can prevent those big plays, you've got a really good chance of winning a football game.
And most of those big plays came really early. The 56-yard pass that Adarius Barnes just he kind of made him look silly. That one was huge, and it really hurts the morale of a defense whenever you go out and immediately you're hit with a big play like that and give up a touchdown, an early touchdown. And then on back-to-back possessions, you give up touchdowns to start the game. It's difficult, especially for so many new guys in the secondary.
Let's go through this, the box score real fast. Louisiana Tech, 16 first downs, 321 yards of offense, 60 total plays, which isn't nearly enough for a high tempo, up tempo,
a spread offense.
Spread offense. You got to, when you look at NC State, ran 87 plays. Tech had 5.4 yards per gain, which isn't terrible. Whenever you look at NC State, was at 6.2. Kenneth Dixon was outstanding, minus the one fumble, one of Kenneth Dixon's best performances of his career, especially given the talent of that defensive line for NC State.
And the inexperience of his offensive line.
He made people miss in the backfield several times. He had 22 carries for 118 yards.
And not only that, he broke countless tackles. Yeah. He would get hit two and three times and just continue to barrel through.
When you look at, he had 118 yards of Tech's 143 total rushing yards. That's pretty evident of how well Kenneth Dixon played. Net yards passing 178. They were 15 for 27. two sacks for 8 yards of loss, four total turnovers that we talked about, five penalties for 21 yards. But one of the things about the penalties for Louisiana Tech were that was how untimely they were. An offsides by a corner on third and short, or third and medium.
Yeah,
third that and really medium. Was a third down stop. It would have resulted in a field goal.
And it wasn't even one of the members of the secondary who was playing his very first college game. This was a guy who had lots of experience coming from last year.
Not lots of experience. That's college.
He's
a redshirt sophomore.
Okay, well.
So when I think of lots of experience, I think of a redshirt senior.
Right, okay.
There's nobody on that
compared
second.
compared to the other members of his secondary.
He's a veteran.
Yeah, well.
He's a seasoned vet.
The shoe fits.
Oh, goodness. That is quite indicative of the entire game, isn't it?
Right.
When you think about all the inexperience, and we'll get into those storylines in the next segment about, or actually I have that listed as most impressive part and least impressive part, but I'd like to get more into that in the 6:15 time slot. But we would like to hear from you, 888-993-7762, your thoughts on the NC State game. 40-14, Louisiana Tech went down in that contest in Raleigh, North Carolina. NC State quarterback, starting quarterback Brandon Mitchell was 3 for 3 for 93 yards in one drive. Then he went down with a broken foot, which is the risk you have when you have a running quarterback. Pete Thomas came in and they really couldn't do a whole lot of anything.
No.
But the damage was pretty much done by that point.
Pete was 15 of 27, just like Scotty was. He throws the pick in the end zone, and had IK not fumbled that ball, I think it was a huge momentum shift. Could have been, I should say, huge momentum shift in favor of the Dogs.
What would you say the percentage of NC State's playbook that Pete Thomas had at his disposal compared to Brandon Mitchell?
Oh, gosh.
Brandon Mitchell has 100% of the playbook, and I would say Pete Thomas was probably at 25% of the playbook.
When you first asked me, the first number that came to mind was 25. When Pete Thomas went in, the offense went completely vanilla.
They were anemic.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think because the competition for the starting quarterback position went right down till Wednesday, I don't think as many of us realized that it really wasn't as close as we thought. It was going to be Brandon Mitchell.
And if you remember, Matt Carter basically said that last week. He said, if you put a gun in my head, I would say it's Brandon Mitchell because he can do what Coach Doran wants to do in his offense.
Right.
Now, they may not have been able to watch practice around the NC State media, but anybody that's been around the game of football for any amount of time knows that coaches have tendencies. And when you've got one quarterback that leans to those tendencies and another quarterback that doesn't, odds are he's going to go with the guy that does lean towards the tendencies of the head coach. And they did that in Brandon Mitchell. Brandon Mitchell looked good. I knocked his passing ability going into that game.
As did I. I didn't because he couldn't make it in the SEC as a quarterback, I assumed that
he couldn't throw the ball.
Right.
But my friend,
he could throw.
We were wrong.
3 for 3, 93 yards.
93 yards, 31 yards an attempt.
Yeah.
That's salty. The true freshman running back for NC State, Matt Days, is going to have a bright career for NC State.
17 carries, 84 yards, an average of 4.9 per carry, and 3 touchdowns.
And you know, Xavier Woods, I don't know if you remember this play. I think it was in the first quarter where he reads the play, and he's ready for Matt Days. He meets him in the flat, but Matt Days just a little bit stronger than him. And he didn't really truck him, I wouldn't say.
He trucked him.
He pushed him into the end zone. Xavier never lost his footing. He just wasn't quite strong enough to make the tackle. But having a true freshman in Xavier Woods in the right place at the right time, he just needed to go for his legs and not so high. If he takes his legs out, I think he can make the stop. But Matt Days was impressive with 17 carries for 84 yards. Tony Creasy, the guy that Matt Carter last week called Mr. Dependable, 13 carries, 47 yards. All this being said, I thought Tech did a pretty decent job against the run.
Absolutely. No, especially compared to what they were giving up just a season ago. I thought they did fine against the run.
when you the guy that really made the biggest difference on that defense as far as stopping the run was Daniel Cobb.
Daniel Cobb.
And it's not even close.
No.
What Tech was missing last year was a linebacker that would fill the hole and make the tackle. He filled the hole and made the tackle.
He had 3.5 tackles for loss.
And they were probably every time on third down.
Well, probably so. That's what Skip said in Monday's presser. He was very impressed with the effort that he saw from Daniel Cobb and his ability to sniff out the run, react quickly, fill the hole, make the stop.
Mitch Villamez had a good day.
Yeah.
I thought that Bo Feet had a good day. Need a little help at middle linebacker. Need some depth there. Mike Schrang did a decent job, but he's still last year he was a strong safety.
Yeah.
He was a strong side linebacker last year. Now he's a middle linebacker. He's learned three different positions in his time at Tech. I think a little bit of slack needs to be cut to him, but Tech needs some depth at middle linebacker. When Nick Thomason comes back from his injury, he will be that number two linebacker, in my opinion. But he's not there yet. He's coming off of shoulder surgery. The guy at Tech's second string running back in Tevin King, who everybody's been waiting for his return. And
yeah.
I think physically he's ready, but I don't think he realizes physically he's ready.
I think he has Derrick Rose syndrome.
Is that a medical condition?
I think it should be. Derrick Rose.
Jared King, MD?
Yeah. He didn't feel comfortable on his knee. He just didn't feel like he could do the things that were necessary. And obviously, Tevin must have felt like he could go out there and compete. Otherwise, he would have been on the field. But 7 carries, 19 yards, an average of 2.7 a carry.
And he fumbled it twice. So two of those 7 carries were fumbles.
And one of those carries went for 15 yards. So the other 6 went for a combined 4. That's not the Tevin King that we're used to seeing.
Nah.
And mentally, I don't think he's quite ready yet.
But physically, from what I've seen of him in practice, he's got the cutting ability and the speed back. He just needs to realize that, hey, the doctors did what they were supposed to do to my knee. The Lord has healed me. And it's time for me to go out there and do what I've been made to do.
Right. You wonder,
and that's
though,
tote the rock.
Right. You wonder if maybe he remembers planting, turning, cutting.
You know he does.
And now every time he does it, he's just a little leery.
And you look at the receiving stats for NC State, and of course that's where Tech gave up a ton of yards. Rashard Smith is one of the best players Tech will play against all year. He's explosive. 5 catches for 82 yards, an average of 16.4 yards a catch. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, what was funny, in the press box at NC State, one of the print media guys, the newspaper guy, was saying he needs a junior or a third added to that last name because it's just not quite done.
Right.
At Marquez Valdez Scantling the III, he needs more.
I want to call attention to one particular receiver. Last week, we talked with Matt Carter, and we were concerned with Quentin Payton and the matchup problems that, you know, he would bring because he's 6'4" and Tech secondary.
He was a non-issue.
1 catch for 7 yards.
He was a non-issue.
So I'm impressed with that. And then also you mentioned Rashard Smith, 82 of his 56 yards. I mean 82, 56 of his 82 yards. I'll get it right. Came on one play, and it should have been stopped. It was just a young guy trying to make the tackle.
But you know, you talk about that those corners in Levander Liggins and Adarius Barnes. I thought Levander played well.
Absolutely. I agree.
Levander has had nagging turf toe injuries his entire career at Louisiana Tech. I think that's really the reason they've kept him away from returning punts and kicks. And he looked like the Levander Liggins we've all wanted to see. Adarius Barnes, he didn't have his best debut performance at corner that he probably wishes he would have had. But I know the guy has the ability.
Absolutely.
It was just his very first start in a new system.
In front of 54,000 people.
It wasn't that. It was not that raucous.
The announced attendance was 54,000.
It was not a raucous place. Now, for a redshirt, for a true sophomore, yeah, it may have been raucous. But by halftime, it was so hot that a lot of people had headed home. So it was not a raucous environment. And of course, the turnovers did happen. You can't say, well, without them, but I am going to say it. Without the turnovers, it's probably 21-24 at halftime.
Yeah, well, and by the time, I mean, we're looking really at a 33-28 game. If they don't fumble twice in the end zone, IK gets the pick and he holds on to it.
Because the offense was rolling at that point.
Absolutely. It really was. That's why I said that it was such a, I felt like it was such a, it could have been such a big momentum boost had they came away with that.
Let's take a break, and on the other side of the break, we will continue our in-depth into NC State talk. And at 6:30, we'll begin the Lamar game talk. And at 6:45, Mike Malosoff from BigRedInsider.com, a Lamar independent website, will be joining us to talk Lamar football. 7 o'clock, we'll continue our Lamar game talk, and then at 7:15, of course, is our prediction segment where Joe Dirt, Jared King, and myself will be giving our predictions. And for the record, I'm 1-0 on the year. You guys are 0-1. We'll be back right after this.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, presented by Lincoln Agency here on ESPN Radio 97.7. This is Season 6, Episode 2, and a second segment of Episode 3. I just haven't... Let me change my note. Episode 3. It's fixed. Of Season 6.
Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Let's hear from you on the Bleed Tech Blue Radio hotline, 888-993-7762, or our radio show inbox, radio at bleedtechblue.com. Going into the game last week, MasseyRatings.com had Tech as a possibly going 12-0. Well, their computer rankings change after from game to game, and now their prediction has Tech about 9-3.
Which I could still see.
Yeah.
Who are the losses?
The losses, 46% chance of victory against Kansas, and a 46% chance of victory against Rice. Everybody else on the schedule is a 62% or higher chance of victory.
Including Tulsa.
Tulsa's a 62% chance of victory.
I don't see them losing to Kansas. Not unless there are a ton of JUCO kids, a ton of JUCO kids at Kansas who happen to be really, really good.
If they got a signing class full of Quentin Pattons, they could be really, really good.
Right, that's true.
But that's not real likely. They will have some players, there's no doubt in my mind, because whenever you sign, I think they signed, what was it, upwards of 17 or 18 JUCOs?
17
JUCOs. The odds of 10 of them being contributors are very high. But you still have another 12 spots on your roster.
Right, and especially on a team that was 1-11 last year. Of course, there are some spots to be filled.
They have a lot of spots to fill. That's a bad football team. So, Tech fans, it's not all over. Louisiana Tech has a chance for a really good season. My thoughts of what happened Saturday in Raleigh were kind of almost a perfect storm. Two guys that really didn't turn the ball over a whole lot last season and were some of the quote-unquote veterans coming into the season had their worst games at protecting the football of their careers. With three fumbles by the 2x2 running backs, IK Inampali makes an excellent read on a pass back in coverage. We did get a view of the 4-3 going into a 3-4 and what I've been saying all along, that IK Inampali is a outside linebacker in a 3-4. We sure saw it.
He can do it.
He can play outside linebacker. He makes a great play on the ball, returns the ball 19 yards, and it pops out.
And something that I've been wanting to point out.
Do it.
When I look at the box score, and this keeps jumping out at me, 321 total yards of offense, a 14 points on the scoreboard is not indicative of 321 yards of offense. It's not. as much as it pains me to say it, and as much as I shouldn't, I will anyway. There should be 28 points on the scoreboard. There should.
If a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his you-know-what every time he jumped.
Right.
But he does. And they did. You know, I agree with you. Because at 28-40, I don't think the final score would have been 40.
No.
At that point.
I don't think so either. Well, and we know it wouldn't if, had IK not fumbled, it would have at least taken one score off the board.
And then the offsides.
Right.
On third and, was it third and six, I think?
I think so. It was something, third and.
Four to six.
Yeah.
When Bryson Abraham was lined off offsides, and when I tell you he was lined up offsides, he was lined up 2 yards offsides. I think he was, he could have smelled the guy's breath. He was so close to him.
See, I have to, you know, tell everyone. I didn't actually get to see the game live. My buddy Jonathan was not Jay Ford, but another guy was constantly texting me updates and stuff, and he told me, he said, Abraham's lined up offsides, and.
Sure enough,
then
there was a flag.
And then he said they just threw a flag because Abraham was lined up offsides. So if it was that obvious, it was obvious.
If it was Pee Wee football, I promise you the referee right next to him would have said, "Hey, son, back up." But this is Division I football,
right? They don't.
And he just watched him. It was the easiest call that lines judge made all night long, all day long. I promise you Bryson Abraham will never line up that offsides ever again in his career. I know that's a rash statement. Never's a long time. But imagine the butt-chewing he got on the sideline after that one.
Right. I'm sure Ronnie Bradford gave it to him. Ronnie Bradford is a fiery coach.
He is. He is a very fiery coach. And that might be the understatement of the century. Speaking of Ronnie Bradford, we'll talk about the not often mentioned special teams. I thought they did pretty well.
Yeah.
Minus the kick out of bounds by the true freshman on his first kickoff of his career, Logan McPherson.
Not exactly how they planned it.
I'm sure.
And Skip acknowledged that he made a joke about it in the press conference. He's on Monday. He said Logan McPherson kicking the very first kickoff of 2013 out of bounds was not something that we scripted, and just, you know, laughed it off. He
kicked it an average of 36 yards. Two ended up inside the 20. His average wasn't where you want it to be, but for his first outing, I didn't think it was bad.
It was solid. I mean, his longest was 42, which
that needs to be his average.
That needs to be his average. On the other side of the ball, North Carolina was punting an average of 40, which I would
guy was good.
Yeah, I would be
170 pounds. I think he needs to go. They need a Griff's in Raleigh. He needs to go frequent it.
Or a Dowling's.
He needs a scatter load. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I need a scatter load. Notice Skip didn't mention anything in the presser about Kyle Fisher. Didn't really see any of Kyle Fisher. Hate that for him, but I really was impressed with the coverage team. Kick returns, 38 yards on, and punt returns, 3 for 10 yards. Longest was 5 yards. So they were getting guys down there.
That was actually one of my concerns that I didn't voice was coverage teams. When you had a guy like Rashard Smith, who may be the best returner Tech faces all year, and they bottled him up pretty good.
Yeah.
The one thing that Logan McPherson did, although his averages weren't very long, he had good hang times every time he punted the ball. And if you're going to kick it short, make sure you've got good hang time so that they can get down and make the tackle so he has no return. And
obviously they were.
He didn't. What did he average a return? I've already closed the box score. I think he probably
3.3.
averaged 3.3 yards a return.
Yeah, 3.3 a return.
That's basically nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're looking for. DJ Banks actually averaged exactly twice that, which is only 7, but
DJ did all right in the return game. There was one early in the game that he should have let go over his head. It would have been a touchback. The thing that we have to remember about this stupid touchback rule in the NCAA, I'll tell you how I really feel about it, is that they take it out to the 25. If they're going to do that every time, I don't know if it's on punts. I think it's just on kicks. But if it's on kicks and the ball's even anywhere close to the end zone, kneel it.
Yeah.
They've taken special teams nearly out of the game in a kickoff game, and that ticks me off.
It's injuries.
Who cares? Do you think they don't know that football causes injuries?
Well, no, I agree. Most of the guys that you ask if they're injured or if they've got injured in NFL when they're in the NFL or in college football when their career is over, if you ask them if they do it again, they would say yes.
You know, not to get off subject too much, but Colin Cowherd, who I don't often listen to because I don't often agree with him, but he had a subject a couple of weeks ago about an NFL player said, I would rather have a concussion than blow out my knee. And if I was in their situation, I would be the same way.
I agree. I would much rather have an ACL, an MCL, and, you know, walk off the field a little woozy.
Now, Terry Bradshaw, if he were listening right now, would be yelling at us because those old-timers that have experienced lots of concussions because the equipment wasn't up to snuff.
Right.
They completely disagree, especially because they're getting on up in age, and the concussion, that's where you start really feeling the effects of lots of concussions. Anyway, I digress.
Just a rabbit.
Let's take a break. On the other side of the break, we'll begin our Lamar game talk, and then, of course, 6:45, Mike Melanson from BigRedInsider.com. We'll be back right after this.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, your host here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We are presented this year by Lincoln Agency. Joining me, Jared King. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get into this Lamar talk.
Yeah, Season 6 is sponsored by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Jared, Lamar had a very impressive 75-0 victory.
Okay.
Let me say this. It's an impressive victory anytime you score 75 points.
Okay.
I don't care if it's against a high school team that doesn't play football. They're a basketball school. Let's say the Simsboro, for our friend here, John, or Joe Dirt, let's say Simsboro decided to field a football team for the first time tomorrow, and then Saturday they were playing Tech. It'd still be impressive if Tech scored 75 points.
Yeah. You know, in Monday's presser, Skip said that it's difficult to score 75 points on the air. Against the air. You still have to have someone to throw the ball, you still have somebody to catch the ball, and you still have to block. So I'll give them that.
75 points. Oklahoma Panhandle State, however, is a D2 school.
Correct.
And you just pulled up a picture of their stadium, and let's just say that most high school stadiums in North Louisiana are better.
Absolutely. Do they not have grass there? There's no grass.
Goodness. It's a gray field, isn't it?
It's gray. There is no grass. Tumbleweeds.
It is in the Panhandle, and there's not a ton in the Panhandle of Oklahoma. But Lamar, 31 first downs, 615 yards of total offense against Oklahoma Panhandle. They went for it on fourth down in that game. That's it's pretty brutal. They were 50% on third down conversions, 8 of 16. 323 yards passing. That really is the forte of Lamar's team, is their passing game. They were 20 for 32 from passing for 10.1 yards a pass, 292 rushing yards, 52 rushing attempts, 5.6 yards, and a rush attempt. 6 penalties for 40 yards. I think that's interesting.
The 6 penalties?
Yes.
Is that a lot of penalties?
Whenever Oklahoma Panhandle State had 7 for 55.
Yeah, that's true. What I want to point out is that Oklahoma Panhandle State had 130 rushing. Actually, they had 170 rushing yards against Lamar.
That's exactly where I think Tech's going to really exploit this team.
Absolutely. I agree. If Oklahoma Panhandle State can rush for 170.
It's such a mouthful. Can we come up with a way to abbreviate that terrible name?
OPPSU? That's so long, too.
This is guy OKP. OKP. We're calling him OKP.
Imagine what Kenneth Dixon is going to do.
I told this to when Mike Malosso and I were talking on the phone earlier today. I think Kenneth goes for 203 or 204 scores.
I completely agree.
He's gonna break some long ones off. If he had 28 yards was his longest run against NC State. 50 plus is going to be his longest on Saturday, and I think this is really where Tevin King gets his confidence back. I wish that this game and NC State game really needed to be flipped for this team. They needed a confidence booster, and I'm not saying they win the game just rolling the football out there. They've got to execute.
Six FCS schools beat FBS schools in week one.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, you can't overlook them. Absolutely not.
That's all the motivation that Louisiana Tech's football team needs to show up Saturday and be prepared to play a team that played OKP.
Apparently, Caleb Berry, starting quarterback for Lamar, is a bit of a dual threat. Three attempts for 74 yards.
You know what's rushing. One thing that's impressive about Caleb Berry that Mike Malosaw told me earlier, his backup, Ryan Masakowski, was a four-star out of high school. Signed with Kentucky and went JC after some injuries, and Caleb Berry still beat him out. Masakowski. It's a great last name. Is a senior. So, and Berry is a redshirt junior. That tells you of Caleb Berry's abilities.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a good quarterback. I think that the Lamar offensive line's a little light, and I think that's going to be that Louisiana Tech's going to exploit that with Justin Brock, the starting left tackle at 6'5", 280. The starting left guard, Ian Kelso, at 6'2", 280. I'm sorry, but Jelly Bean weighs 70 pounds more than he does.
Yeah.
Almost 80.
And you mentioned Justin Brock. Justin Brock is also a redshirt sophomore who's played him one game.
Center Kyle Gillum, 6'1", 270, another light guy there on the front line. Brett Treadway, listed at 260. Mike says he's closer to about 280. 6'3", 280, redshirt freshman. And right tackle, Stephen Babin, 6'4", 315. He's got some girth to move around. But that's the side that Vontarius Dora is going to be on. And talk about a guy that had a really good game against NC State was Vontarius Dora.
Absolutely. He was definitely a bright spot on the defense that I wasn't necessarily expecting to do as well as he did.
But I think that now, given Caleb Berry's a runner, the defensive ends for Louisiana Tech are going to have to keep contained. They can't be so determined to go inside every single play. They're going to have to go around to keep contained so that the middle linebacker, Daniel Cobb, can be at home to keep him from running up the middle.
Right. Well, although we only got a small dose of Brandon Mitchell last week, 5 carries, 19 yards, and 10 of them were on one carry. So, not bad. They did a pretty good job of containing Brandon Mitchell. Now, I don't know Caleb Berry personally, but I would assume
he's probably not as good of an athlete as Brandon Mitchell.
Brandon Mitchell, right.
I'll say it. You were leading up to it, and I'll say it bluntly.
There you go.
He's just not.
He
honestly can't be. Brandon Mitchell started at Arkansas on the basketball team at one point last season. Arkansas is a pretty good basketball team.
Yeah.
So he's a really good athlete. You look at at tight end, a 6'1", 225-pound tight end. I think they use the term tight end pretty loosely. That's a wide receiver.
Yeah, that's a wide receiver.
That's an inside receiver. The backup to him, Dylan Barrett, and Peyton McVay is the 6'1", 225-pounder. Dylan Barrett, the backup to him, 6'3", 220, another inside receiver.
From Drapron, Grant High School.
Look at you. Dropping that Southwest Louisiana, South Central West Louisiana.
That's central. That's central. That's not far from here at all. My wife's dad lives.
Oh, that's right. Grant High School. Sorry.
Yeah, my wife's dad lives in that area.
Do you know this kid personally?
I do not know him personally.
Oh, that's such a shame. Y'all could have an old home week Saturday if you did. A guy that Lamar lists as a wide receiver on their official roster, but is a tailback, is Peyton Ploch. PLOCH. They've got some fun names on this team. when you think about Ryan Mosikowski and Peyton Ploke.
Mosikowski.
I could say Mosikowski 80 times a day and not get bored.
I'm smiling right now. Mosikowski.
Try to say Mosikowski without smiling. It's impossible. Cade Harrington, the backup running back, 5'9", 185, supposedly has really good speed, and he's very athletic. They do have a couple of transfers on the roster. For some stinking reason, I left that note at home, but we'll get Mike Melanson here in a few minutes to tell us about those transfers. I know a wide receiver transfer from Oklahoma State, a D-tackle transfer from Oklahoma State that stands 6'6", and is 300 pounds. They play a 3-4, which I like that for a running team. You got to have really fast linebackers if you want to stop the run in a 3-4.
Right.
And their linebackers are kind of undersized. Justin White at 6'4", 190. James Washington at 5'11", 225. Will Jones at 5'10", 225. And Jermaine Longino at 5'10", 220. They got some pretty undersized linebackers, but they've had success in the past. They're athletic. That's an athletic group. But I still think that Tech's going to be able to run the ball on Lamar pretty easily. Let's take this break. On the other side of the break, we'll have Mike Melanson from BigRedInsider.com.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, your host here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, let's get to a couple of sponsors before we get to Mike Melanson of BigRedInsider.com.
Yeah, Bleed Tech Blue Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Mike, how's it going, my newfound friend?
Hey, good. How you doing, John?
Doing pretty good. Just talk to me a little bit about we earlier today when you and I were talking, we started out talking about the transfers. Let's start at that same exact spot. Talk about the D1 transfers that Lamar has on a roster.
Okay. I think that we have a handful of transfers, Division I transfers, and I think Woodard has done a pretty good job of mixing high school talent with transfers, but the main contributing transfers or names that we have are, of course, Kevin Johnson and Joseph Okafor. Both came from Oklahoma State last year, Johnson being the wide receiver and Okafor being the defensive tackle. We had Ryan Mosikowski, who was recruited out of high school in Kentucky, and he transferred here a couple years ago at quarterback and actually is the backup. And who am I missing? We talked about it earlier.
That was pretty much it, I thought.
Yeah, there was two from Oklahoma State, one from
and then there's the one.
I know what it was. We were talking about Dorsey possibly
correct.
Transferring from UT. There's rumors of him joining the team after transferring out of the University of Texas, but there's NCAA rules in place that would say that he has to have 2 years of eligibility to play right away at a Division I school, and he only has one. So they're looking at a waiver if he might want a redshirt. But I saw him on campus Saturday at the last game. So his brother and his dad both are Lamar graduates, so there's a chance he could end up here too.
Well, let's first start with the offense, Mike. Is led by the athletic quarterback and Caleb Berry. Talk about Caleb's abilities.
Caleb came in, you know, to Lamar as what I would never would have considered him. He's always been the underdog. When he first got here, he was playing behind a senior, a local guy that graduated. His second year, everybody thought he was going to get passed up by Jeremy Johnson, who was a West Virginia transfer that came from this area from Silsby, and he was going to be the next big thing. And Barry outplayed him, and then Mosikowski transferred here, and you know, with the pedigree of SEC schools recruiting him. And, you know, next thing you know, Caleb Berry's outplaying him and really outplayed him this offseason and ends up getting the starting job. And it looks like it paid off in the first game where he had 6 touchdowns in the first half. I know it wasn't the best quality opponent, but he's shown it in practice as well that he's the guy that, you know, he earned that starting job.
Mike, Jared King here. Talk about the offensive line, especially compared to Louisiana Tech's defensive line, obviously the strength of their defense. 6'5", 280, left tackle, Justin Brock. Kelso, 6', 280 pounds. Gillum, 6'1", 270. And then Treadway, 6'3", 260. It's a pretty light group. The only guy being over 300 pounds is Babin, 6'4", 315.
Yeah, if you're looking at the depth chart from the Lamar website or mine, they've been pretty lenient on the weights. Seems like a lot of them are listed as a lot lighter than they are realistically. I think sometimes they put the weights down when they first came to Lamar and they never changed them. But saying that, they're still undersized versus y'all's defensive Louisiana Tech's defensive line over there. The offensive line has been a scrutinized group at Lamar since the rebirth of the program. They've tried the transfer route when they had Anthony Oden a few years ago and Daniel Campbell, who were both highly recruited, and neither one of them panned out, and it left them in pretty bad shape last year. But this group here together has been playing pretty well in this offseason and in the first game. And with the passing attack by this offense, again, utilizing quick passes and getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands really quickly, I think has helped them. How it works out against a bigger, more athletic defensive line this week would be one of the interesting things I'm willing to see. But they play real well as a group, in the scrimmages against each other and then in the first game. So we'll see how it turns out.
And we were talking earlier, the tailback, Peyton Ploke, may be listed as a wide receiver on the Lamar roster, but is the starting tailback. And you said that a lot of their running game is a lot of swing passes and quick hitches. But just talk about how they use the running backs.
From what I've seen so far this year to help with the – see, we were running back last year was what we thought here is in the press that would be one of the strengths of the Lamar offense when they had Herschel Sims from Oklahoma State transferred here. They had a freshman come in named Daryl Harris that took the majority of the carries last year and was the returning starter. They ended up academically becoming ineligible, and he's not back. Sims transferred to Abilene Christian, and it left him with huge holes at running back. And Ploke started at wide receiver, and he's kind of a thicker wide receiver. And next thing you know, he's in the spring, he's running at tailback. But their offense is utilized to run such quick passes, not just to running backs, to tight end and the receivers. It leaves them with a lot of second, third, and shorts. And Ploke is the guy that grinds out them tough 2 or 3 yards. And they have a freshman as his backup named Cade Harrington from Kingwood Park that has shown major flashes of running ability at practice. And in the first game, he actually scored 2 touchdowns in his first college game. When they got him out of high school, I never thought he would be one of the flashier players on the team. But, man, he sure has turned out to be a gem in the early going.
And then the wide receivers, of course, led by the transfer from Oklahoma State. And that really is the strength of this team, correct?
Well, like I said, last year it seemed like it was the running backs was going to be the group, and the wide receivers were after the losses of Marcus Jackson and J.J. Hayes, who were studs for Lamar 2 years prior, and then last year it fell off dramatically, and it was a concern of the team, and they had trouble getting separation all year last year. It turned into be a strength this year. A lot of the guys that were the younger guys that got a lot of snaps last year, it looks like it's paid off. And, I mean, they got 5 guys. I mean, the leading receiver from last year's team actually quit the team after the first game when he didn't get any playing time because he was so far down the depth chart based on how well these other guys have been playing. So I would think that the wide receiving core at Lamar is probably the strength of the offensive unit for sure.
And then you look at the defense, of course, a 3-4 defensive set, which is not exactly common for the FCS world. But just talk about that defensive line anchored by the big 6'6", 295 Joe Okafor, the transfer from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Okafor came from Oklahoma State. He started at end, and they moved him inside after they graduated Adrian Dorsey, which is Ashton Dorsey's older brother that was with Lamar last year. So they shifted Okafor inside, and they have seniors Jesse Dixon and Mark Merle on the ends. And Merle and Dixon led the team in tackles last week and had like 7 tackles for loss. They both had excellent games. But the competition level was obviously not what it's going to be this week, so it'd be interesting to see how they match up with the more athletic and bigger Louisiana Tech offensive line. They have 4 pretty good linebackers, led by James Washington and Jermaine Largino, 2 seniors. And Will Jones is also a senior, but Washington and Largino are ball hawks, and especially Largino. He's a short guy, but he's thick, fast. Seems like he's always around the ball, making plays. And then the fourth linebacker is Justin White, who's coming into his own. He's only a sophomore, but he had a pretty good spring. I saw him with a couple picks in the spring game, and I think he had 4 tackles in the first game, and the leading tacklers had 5. So the linebacking core is pretty strong. We'll see how it goes, though.
Mike, we're going to take a break. Can you stick around for one more segment?
Sure.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more Lamar football with Mike Melanson of what's the website, Mike? I just had
BigRedInsider.com.
You got it. You just picked up my slack. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
This is Jay Ford, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We are joined by Mike Melanson on the phone lines for our second segment from BigRedInsider.com. I got it right that time, but first, some sponsors.
Yeah, Bleed Tech Blue Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land Industry Report, and Maxwell's Market Industry Report.
Mike, when you look at this game from a matchup standpoint, which matchups to you stand out the most as the most interesting?
Interesting for Lamar or for La Tech? For Lamar?
From a game standpoint overall.
Oh, just in the game in general, I think the Lamar offense, which looks to be improved this year, and it's been a big – they've struggled the last couple seasons, but looked really crisp in the first week. To see how they match up versus a team like Louisiana Tech really interests me, because over the last 2 seasons – or last season, they played 2 FBS opponents, one being Hawaii and one being Louisiana Lafayette, and got outscored 94-2 in those 2 games with a lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes. Never were in the game after tons of mistakes. So to see them match up after having such a great – that's the difference so far, how I feel after week 1 versus at any point last year watching this team. Last year, there was a lot of they played a lot of teams of the same quality of an Oklahoma panhandle, and they won, but it seemed more of a sloppy, we out-athleted that team is what it looked like to them. They out, you know, not a, we went and dominated them. I was speaking from their perspective. This year, that first week, it looked like they finally had a game where they showed up and they didn't give that team a chance from the opening snap. They went out and they performed up to their level, and it was good. So I'll personally be interested to see how that offense matches up with what's going to be a much better defense, and if they're actually able to move the ball and put some points on the board. It's cliche, but I also like to see if they can put a handle on the running back, Dixon, who looks to be really good. And, you know, if they're able to at least contain him somewhat and keep him in check, it'd be another matchup.
Do you think it's out of the question, Mike, that Dixon could put up 200 yards?
No, it's not out of the question if history has shown anything on Lamar's return to football, because against, like I said, FBS opponents, they've struggled. But like I said, based on 1 week, they look improved. We'll see. But it wouldn't shock me in the least if they've had a history of when things get out of hand, they get out of hand bad. And if they can avoid the costly errors and the turnovers, and like I said, keep him at a manageable rate, they can keep the game interesting. But to say that is it unreachable for him to go 200 yards? No, I'm not. I wouldn't put money against it. Let's put it that way.
If you were to predict the game to right now and pick a score, what would you say the score would be? I always make everybody do this. So you're not. I'm not picking on you.
No, it's okay. If you put me on the spot, you know, if best, you know, great scenario where they play well, I think they can stay in the game for a while. And then if the depth gets to them and the bigger athletes and, you know, a couple mistakes here and there, I can see the game being maybe a, I don't know, 38-21, 24 type game. And I'm probably closer than a lot of people think. But I watched them in the – you know, I've watched them all spring, and I've watched them in game one, which I'm not comparing who they played in game one to any way whatsoever to what they're about to face this week and next week. But the quality of performance was much better than I've seen from them in years. So if they can just bring some of that to this game, I say that they have a chance to keep it at least interesting for a while.
Well, Mike, we really appreciate you coming on and talking some Lamar football with us. Look forward to talking to you in the future about anything Louisiana Tech and Lamar has to comes up in the future.
Hey, good. Thanks for having me, man. Anytime. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Melanson from BigRedInsider.com joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, presented by Lincoln Agency. Mike knows his Lamar football.
That indeed.
I reached out to the sports editor at the Beaumont Enterprise and never got a response. And Mike was eager and willing, and I think Mike did an outstanding job. And I really appreciate Mike for coming on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight to share his wisdom of Lamar football. I really think that athletically Tech's going to have the upper hand in the majority of this game. When a guy like Eddie Johnson could be back this week, and if they're going to stay in that 3-4 and you go to a spread, and you've got a guy like Eddie Johnson at 6'3", 230, you're going to match him up against a linebacker in Will Jones, who's 5'10", 225, or James Washington, who's 5'11", 225, or Jermaine Longino, who's 5'10", 220, maybe Justin White at 6'4", 190, but he's 6'3", 230.
Right.
And honestly, if you walk up to Eddie Johnson on the street, he looks like he's just stepped off the bus of an NFL football team. He looks the part.
His build is...
it's impressive.
It's pretty impressive. I didn't even see him actually practicing. By the time I saw him, he was injured. He was injured with the ankle. So I didn't even get to see him play. I didn't even see him in pads. And he's imposing without the pads. That's how big he is.
And then you look at a guy like Terrell Pinson at 6'3", about 210, 220, at strong safety. Whenever he's going to match up with a tight end at 6'1", 225, 6'3", 220, I mean, they're the same size. And he had high major offers coming out of I know high major really isn't a word in football, but an AQ offers coming out of junior college in Mississippi. He can flat play the game. And Xavier Woods starting as a true freshman last week, I thought he didn't stand out to me as one of the guys making a ton of mistakes. And he's wise beyond his years, and that's the reason that Kim Dameron has him starting it on his defense, whether it's at nickel or at strong safety. He will be on the field for Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, I think the couple of guys coming back from injury, Pinson and Johnson, both will have big impacts on this game. And I think it's a good opportunity against a team like Lamar to come back and get your feet under you. I'm not saying that by any means am I saying that Lamar is a definite win or anything like that. No game is a gimme. Anything can happen on any given Saturday.
I'm going to throw you under the bus for a second.
Okay.
Whenever you hand motioned me the score of which you...
No, I said 45. I know you think I said 55.
Okay.
I said 45.
I initially thought that you hand motioned that Tech would score 55, and I was about to ask you to put the crack pipe down.
When you said... Yeah. When you gave me that look, I thought, okay, there's no way that Tech couldn't score 45 points.
Well, that's very possible, especially if Dixon goes for four touchdowns like I think he could.
And that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting Dixon to have a big game. I'm expecting Dixon to have a big game against really a defensive line that's not very big.
And Tevin King, I think Tevin's going to have a long run to get his feet under and get his knee under him for pun intended.
That's what he needs.
He needs it.
He needs it mentally. He just needs to see that he can do it again. And once he does it.
And we probably should have talked about this in the first segment, but we didn't. Scotty Young didn't play extremely well in the second half. He missed some guys, bounced some balls to the receivers. And Skip Holtz actually mentioned it in the post-game press conference about his play in the second half. And then a lot of people are going to be asking, well, where's the other quarterback? I don't think this coaching staff is going to do like the previous coaching staff and have a quarterback carousel where a guy has a bad game and they pull him.
That's not what Scotty needs. No. This is Scotty's first game, literally his first game.
First collegiate start.
Yeah. And one thing that Skip mentioned in Monday's presser was that he was impressed with how Scotty handled getting hit a couple of times, especially early in the game. Got a couple of sacks, took a couple of sacks, stayed in the game mentally, got back up, went right back to it, stayed in the pocket. And Skip also did mention specifically that he was impressed with Scotty's performance in the first half. He didn't mention
and he did talk about how he missed some guys downfield, wide open, which you know he's watched that tape several hundred times.
Absolutely.
And if this offense produced people wide open against a defense like NC State, who is running a 4-3,
right?
They're going to produce some people wide open in a 3-4.
Absolutely. I think guys like Sterling Griffin and DJ Banks could get on the other side of that secondary. And as long as Scotty can get on the ball, which I think he's fully capable of doing, it'll be a fun game to watch.
The Lamar corners, Tyrus McLaughlin and Braden Thomas, are 5'8 and 5'9 respectively. They're both seniors.
Buck 75, buck 70.
They're little dudes.
They're small guys.
People who know me, I say this little thing. He's just a little guy. Those are two little dudes.
Nashawn Davis, safety, 6'3", 225.
That's a sizable guy.
That's a good size safety. And then Chad Allen, 5'11", 190, other safety.
But Nashawn Davis is not one of the transfers. He's not a D1 transfer. So odds are at 6'3", 225, he's not... doesn't have great speed.
Right.
If he was 6'3", 225 and had great speed,
he would be at a D1
school. Wouldn't be at Lamar.
Right. I agree completely. I think that the small corners are really going to help.
And speaking of you brought up Sterling Griffin, what a game he had.
Absolutely.
He showed that he is the experienced receiver of that bunch.
I completely agree. I was really impressed with what I saw from Sterling Griffin, especially being in the offense such a short amount of time.
Sterling Griffin, a lot of people were concerned that he may not be ready from the injuries that he's sustained in his career. He's ready.
Absolutely.
He's wearing Quentin Patton's number and honestly looked the part.
Is it too early?
He looked the part in game one.
Oh, okay, in game one.
Can I put that caveat on it?
Yeah, in game one. 3 catches, 52 yards, 17.3 yak, and...
You said yak.
Yeah. And then his longest went for 20.
So I was pleasantly surprised with and the receivers, as Holtz talked about in his Monday presser, they didn't have a single drop.
No, not a single drop. In the first game, not a single drop.
Ja'Kari Jackson, who has been a guy that's fought consistency his entire career at Louisiana Tech and a Logansport High School in the Toledo Bend area, correct? Am I right in that location? I am right in that location. I'm getting better at my Western Louisiana geography. But Ja'Kari had a 30-yard catch that was a big-time grab. Went up and got it and fell down. Inbounds, I thought it was an excellent catch. That's what Ja'Kari Jackson needs to be on this team, the guy that goes up and gets the ball out of the air to move the chains.
And he's 6'2", fixing to go up against a 5'10 DB, 5'9 DB.
though, one question to me, I came up with this earlier before we got on the air, and I've been meaning to mention it and forgot it until now. How do you, if you're Tony Peterson, figure out the balance to use all of these receivers that is on the roster? As many seniors are on the roster that are experienced, at where do you draw the line in your rotation?
I mean, I think we saw how many 9 guys catch a pass.
And there really could be more. Trent Taylor didn't catch a ball.
Trent Taylor didn't catch a single ball. There could be more than that. More. There could be 10 guys catching passes.
Eddie Johnson didn't play.
Eddie Johnson didn't play. Eddie, and I expect Trent Taylor and Eddie Johnson both to get some playing time against Lamar.
Hunter Lee had a big gainer. You got to get the ball in Hunter Lee's hands. I had this comment during the game. I think I made it on the message board in the game day chat. If it were me, and it's not, because I'm not the coach, but that's why I'm sitting in this chair talking into a microphone. I would be tempted, if Tevin King doesn't get his feet under him, I'd expect him to. It'd be tempting, if I were the coach, to move Hunter Lee to the number 2 running back spot.
I feel like there's a spot there for Hunter Lee. I love Hunter Lee. I'm a huge fan of Hunter Lee. Matt Carter called Tony Creasy Mr. Dependable for NC State last week.
He's the epitome of Mr. Dependable.
Absolutely. And he's a tough guy who will go over the middle. He'll go up the middle. Hunter Lee could do what needs to be done with the backup running back position if Tevin King isn't able to get his knee under him.
Boom. The pun continues. Hope you folks out there that think puns are funny, think that one's funny.
Punny. Masakowski.
Masakowski. That will make you smile every time. On the other side of the break, we will give our predictions, as I am 1-0, and we're going to call Jared 0-0 because he says that I forced him to pick Tech.
I have a witness, Joe Dirt. I have a witness.
Joe Dirt's giving us a thumb down. So he's saying he's 0-1.
He's lying.
So Joe Dirt is 0-1. Jared's 0-1, and I'm 1-0 this year on straight up picks. We will see how
we... Check BleedTakeBlue.com. I put NC State. I picked them.
But that was behind a paywall. This is for a lot more ears to hear. 0-1.
All right.
We're going to have to keep up with the records. We've never done that in the past.
Oh, we will this year. I'm competitive.
I know you are.
We will do it this year.
But you know what? I think all three of us are going to choose Lamar. So the records are going to – the differentials – I know we're all going to choose Louisiana Tech as well, getting at. The differential is going to stay the same.
That's true. I can't make up a game this week unless I pick Lamar and they stud, which I'm
and
not going to
do. And then if they don't stun, you're 2 games back.
Right.
It's kind of like fantasy football, but not.
Right.
This is Bleed Tech Blue Raider on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back right after this.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
I think we might have to rename this radio show
to
School of Rock. This guy right here on the ones and the twos, he pulls out some rock that I've never heard in my life.
But you're a big classic rock guy.
I'm a big classic rock guy, but I'm so bad at song titles and band names that I'm really bad at this.
I have no idea who this is.
He just said Van Halen, so I'm going to go with Van Halen.
Take his word.
We're aging ourselves, the fact that we don't know Van Halen.
Well.
But at the same time, Joe Dirt is aging himself. Touche, Joe.
How much older is Joe Dirt than you?
6 years, I think.
Oh, okay.
You mid-30s? Are you mid-30s?
34.
So, yeah, he's 5 years older than me.
Okay, all right. Well, then,
that's a big difference.
I digress.
You digress.
I digress.
Couple of sponsors before we get to the phone lines and our friend Rafe.
Yeah, Bleed Tech Blue Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Rafe calling us on the hotline, 888-993-7762. I'm sure he's here to give us his prediction of the game. Rafe, how's it going, my friend?
Going great, man. You doing all right?
Doing great.
Yeah, dude, I don't know if it's as much about the prediction. I will kind of talk about my 0-1 start from last week, and it wasn't based upon an overestimate of how good we are. I quite frankly, underestimated NC State. And having watched that game again, they're not only talented, they were sound on both sides of the ball. The type of play calling they had, you know, it was exceptional. And they had some really good athletes. I don't know how their season's going to play out, but I would not be surprised if they were, you know, they beat Florida State last year. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled a couple major upsets in ACC.
Oh, it's very possible. That was a talented team. And you know, I questioned why they didn't give O'Brien one more year. But after watching Saturday's game in person, Dave Duren's the right man for the job.
Yeah, man, they looked really good. And I was so focused upon us when watching it the first time, you know, that I wasn't really free to look at what they were doing and, you know, schematically and their personnel and things like that. So the second time I watched it, I kind of focused in on, tried to evaluate what they had. And they, especially from a play-calling standpoint on both sides of the ball, they were good. You know, they kept us on our toes. And we, you know, eventually I thought when it came power to power, matched them on both sides of the ball. You know, whenever we could run the ball with power on them and we could stop their power. But they were a little bit more advanced as far as their chemistry and their mechanism of their offense than we are. And so those plays were not just busted plays. They were good play calls executed by good players.
But they had a little bit more experience on their roster than Louisiana Tech, and I think that contributed to a lot of it.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. I didn't look at who all was experienced and who wasn't. You know, I thought it was pretty cool or strange, I guess, that we had two players on the at our press conference this year. Both of them were first-year Tech players. You know, both of them played a lot of football, but both of them were this their first year in Ruston. So, if you got the right players, it doesn't take too long to you know, learn your system and execute it.
And I would venture to say that that's the best D tackle tandem Tech will play all year. Those guys were good.
No, they're definitely the best. They're the best team we'll play all year, no doubt about that. And the toughest venue that we'll play all year. So, I mean, there's no argument about that, unless Kansas just turns out to be a world beater, which I doubt it. But, you know, I guess that could happen. But, I mean, from this standpoint, it's not even arguable with what's the best team we'll face all year. It's NC State, hands down, in the toughest venue in the first game. And so, you know, I don't know if we played it perfectly, if we would have, you know, won the game or not. I think it was a lot closer than the score indicated, but, you know, like Dooley used to say, you know, the scoreboard's right. That's what you are. You know, you are your win-loss, and if you fumble the ball away a few times going in, then that's what happened. You lost the game, so I'll take it.
One of his favorite terms was perception is reality, and that is certainly the case when you look at the scoreboard.
Yeah, and I think he said that you are what your record says you are, and then he kind of probably crawfished on that after Tennessee after they lost about five close games.
Yeah.
But anyway,
do you like the matchup Saturday?
Oh, great timing. Great timing for the matchup. I disagree with you guys about how many yards Dixon's going to get. I don't think he's going to lead us in rushing. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't, because it's not a priority. You know, it's not that.
True. That's a fair point.
Yeah, he'll get his carries, but we don't need to figure out whether or not he's good. I mean, we already understand that. And I'm not saying we're going to roll right over him, but we're going to give different guys touches besides him. And I think, you know, King will get more touches. And I don't know if Lee will play a little bit of running back, but I think you'll see him catching the ball a little bit more, making it more priority to get the ball in his hands after what he did. And then, yeah, I don't, as far as the wide receiver rotation, it is, you know, it's going to take a few games to figure out who we're going to prioritize in that. So I think they're going to spread it around pretty widely over the next couple of games, but then you'll see as the conference season goes on that you'll see kind of a fewer players getting the ball.
Well, Rafe, we always appreciate the phone call.
All right, man. You have a great night.
You too, man. We just got a few minutes left, 4 minutes left from based on my clock. Joe Dirt can probably tell us the exact time we've got left. So we are getting close to the end of the game. End of the show. I will give my prediction. I will say final score 40. Let's go ahead and reverse what happened last week. Go out 40-14.
40-14.
40-14.
Same score.
Louisiana Tech.
Except Tech has 40 this time. You think they're going to score 2 touchdowns?
Yeah.
I do too. I'm going 45-17.
I don't think people realize how tough it is to shut a team out.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to be shut out. Not with as athletic of a quarterback as Caleb Berry is. I think with his running ability, he had a great game last week.
I'd like to know exactly how Brandon Mitchell got hurt last week to know if it was a hard hit from Tech, if he got twisted up at the bottom of the pile, it was a broken foot. So you never know exactly what happened. But if it was a hard hit from Tech, Caleb Berry better be watching himself. He's going to be a zone read guy just like Brandon Mitchell was. And if Vontarius Dora comes around the edge like he did several times against NC State, and this time he hits the quarterback instead of the running back, I feel for that poor kid. It won't be pretty.
I know they're going to get pressure on Berry, no doubt about it. Not with the small offensive line that they've got at Lamar. I think it's almost a given.
Joe Dirt, your prediction, my good sir.
41-16.
So we're all, like I said, we're all picking the dogs. So the
no, Joe said Lamar.
Negative. Joe.
Yeah. All right. Just like
so
I said.
So the differential will stay the same. I will continue to lead this, whether we're all wrong or not.
Right, whether we're all wrong or not, Jay Ford will be in the lead one more week. One more week.
You are determined by the end of the season to pass me.
I'm determined by 2 weeks from now to pass you. I swear, I've got to get ahead of you.
So what, are you going to pick Tulane over Tech?
I can't do that. Although I did pick Tulane to be my sleeper team in Conference USA this year. I haven't won in 7 games.
Whew, that's generous. I don't think they're very good.
I think they can make it.
Tech will win that one. And then Kansas is the next one.
Right.
That may be where you overtake me. That way, maybe where we even up, because you go on the road to do an AQ conference. I went to that game before when Tech should have had a chance to win it, and didn't. And after watching the display in Raleigh, I mean, it's hard not to pick their AQ team. They're deeper. They just always are deeper than a non-AQ team.
But 1-11? The only team they beat was an FCS.
I completely understand where you're coming from.
We'll see.
Well, after this week, when we see what Charlie Weiss, the Fighting Weisses do with all those junior college players,